الله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. كلا إن الإنسان ليطغى أن رآه استغنى إن إلى ربك الرجعى. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله on the great ni'mah and favor of Iman. Allah has blessed us the pure and perfect teachings of the Deen of Islam and bless us to be in the Ummah of Allah's Habib Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yesterday we had looked at from Surah Al-Alaq or Surah Iqra the amazing story behind the commencement of wahi and revelation upon our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which the first five verses of the surah was revealed, where Allah Ta'ala says, Iqra' bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Read in the name of your Lord, the nourisher and sustainer of everything in existence, and that Allah alone is the sole creator of everything in and around us. خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ عَلَقٍ. And amongst the creation of Allah Ta'ala, insan, the human being, is very special. After being included generally in creation, Allah Ta'ala makes specific mention. Allah Ta'ala has created the human being, and in the various stages of embryology is in the form of alaq, which is a clotted piece of blood that hangs in that condition for a 40-day period, hangs and clings to the walls within the womb. Iqra wa rabbuka al-akram. Allah Ta'ala says, read your Quran, learn matters of your deen, for indeed your Lord, for whose pleasure you read, is abundantly generous. Allah Ta'ala is that great generous being who grants ni'mas limitlessly, though we are not deserving or worthy of them. Allah Azza wa Jal overlooks major sins, despite a person disbelieving in Allah Ta'ala, ascribing partners unto Allah. Allah Ta'ala still provides sustenance for such a person. So that is that Allah who is Akram, the most generous of all, the most noble of all. Alladhi allama bil qalam, that Allah Ta'ala who has taught knowledge by means of the pen. So the first words denoting the oral tradition of learning, Iqra. And by this means the Quran Azim has been guarded, protected, heart to heart, generation to generation, by means of hifz and memory. But also a second form of protection, authenticated form of writing, from the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, strictly authenticated form of writing as a means of protecting the kalam of Allah, and other forms of knowledge that the pen is the means of acquiring. Essentially, there are three types of pens. One is the divine pen. When Allah Ta'ala created it, Allah commanded, and it wrote everything that was to happen and transpire in all times to come, safeguarded in the Lawh-e Mahfuz. A second type is that which is utilized by the malaika, the angels, who write down our every deed and other important matters. And third is that which we use on earth, writing the Quran Azim, writing beneficial forms of knowledge, the writing down of historical incidents. So Allah Ta'ala is the one who has taught the insan by means of pen the art of writing, and thereby documenting and writing down many and all important matters. One of the great commentators of Quran Azim, Allama Nasafi rahimahullah Ta'ala, in his great tafsir Madarik al-Tanzil, says, if there was no other sign of the greatness of Allah except the pen and Allah Ta'ala teaching the insan the art of writing, would have sufficed for us to recognize Allah Ta'ala. Allama al-insana ma lam ya'lam. This insan, this human being, comes into this world from the mother's womb, born into this world, having no knowledge whatsoever. Allah Ta'ala has given the faculties of hearing, of sight, of intellect, of acquiring an abundance of knowledge. So that Allah Ta'ala has taught the insan, the human being, what that human being did not know previously, abundance of knowledge, a sign of the greatness of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jal then says further. Now these first five verses were revealed upon Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the cave of Hira. The verses from there onwards, verse number 6 onwards, was revealed at a much later stage. Was revealed after the incident of Mi'raj, because Allah Ta'ala makes reference to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam performing salah, and the gift of salah was given on Mi'raj. So Allah Ta'ala says, "Kalla innal insana la yataga," that never should it be that the human being denies and rejects that Allah, who is the giver of these favors, but still the human being in his unmindfulness transgresses the limits. This is the disbelieving human being. These verses refer specifically to Abu Jahl, but by extension, any person who is a disbeliever in Allah Ta'ala is included in these verses. So Allah Ta'ala says, despite all these favors, the human being transgresses the limits of Allah Ta'ala. And the reasoning Allah gives, what drives a person to disobedience of Allah Ta'ala? Arra'ahu staghna. Because the human sees himself as independent, sees himself as not in need of Allah Ta'ala, sees himself as haughty, proud and arrogant, sometimes because of wealth, because of social circles, sees oneself as independent, and this makes a person bold enough to disobey Allah Ta'ala. Whereas that person who knows that for every breath I am totally dependent on Allah Ta'ala will never disobey Allah Ta'ala so blatantly. But Allah Ta'ala says that human being should remember, Inna ila rabbika ruj'a. Your ultimate return is only to your Lord, to Allah Azza wa Jal. Continue after Adhan, inshaAllah.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة
أجمعين. اللهم رب هذه الدعوة التامة والصلاة القائمة آت سيدنا محمدا الوسيلة والفضيلة وبعث مقاما محمودا الذي وعدته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. إن إلى ربك الرجعة. Allah Ta'ala says to that insan who is haughty and arrogant enough to transgress the limits of Allah Ta'ala because he sees himself as independent and not in need, maybe because of possession of abundance of wealth or social circles, or fame, or leadership. But Allah Ta'ala says that insan should ponder and reflect. And this verse we should try and read, constantly reminding ourselves, Inna ila rabbika ruj'a. The ultimate and final and eternal return is only unto Allah Ta'ala. We will leave this world, we will go into our qabrs, minor form of questioning, day of qiyamah, ultimately standing up in the court of Allah Ta'ala. This ultimate return will happen to every single person. Allah Ta'ala then in the following verses refers to an incident when our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would come and perform salah in the precincts of the Kaaba Sharif, and the mushrikeen could not tolerate this, the making of sajda only to the one Allah Ta'ala, whereas they were idol worshippers. So on occasion Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was performing salah, Abu Jahl passed by and reprimanded Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Did I not prohibit you, na'udhu billah in his words, from soiling your face, na'udhu billah?" And we say the most noble position a human being can ever be is in sajda. So did I not prohibit you from performing salah? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded in severe words. Abu Jahl then said, "That you do use such words against me, and do you not know that in this entire valley of Makkah, I possess an abundance of wealth, and my social circle is such that if I want to, I can call my social circle for you and see what happens to you." He threatened Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with that. Note these words, Allah ta'ala will respond to him in similar words. Similarly, he once said to his social circle that, "I will go and put my foot on Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while he's performing salah." And then he starts and proceeds to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they see suddenly he backtracks very, very speedily, shielding and covering his face in a frantic state. So they ask him, "What has happened to you?" He says, "As I proceeded further, I saw what looked like fire and wings and very scary scenarios." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that had he proceeded just a little more towards me, Allah Ta'ala would have commanded the angels to cut his body into pieces, one limb at a time. So Allah Ta'ala protected Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah Ta'ala, referring to that incident, says, "Ara'aita alladhi yanha," that be astonished and see that person who had prohibited, abdan idha salla, Allah's special beloved banda and servant, Allah loves this quality of slavery, servitude to Allah Ta'ala. That person who had prohibited Allah's special servant when he was performing salah, Allah Ta'ala says, "Ara'aita in kana ala al-huda," Abu Jahl should have thought, "What if it is that this person who I am preventing from salah happens to be on the right guidance, on hidayat, or amara bit taqwa, and that this personality is the one who commands Allah awareness, Allah consciousness." So we learn from here in the very early stages the importance of taqwa, Allah awareness, staying away from haram and prohibitions. "Ara'aita in kadhaba wa tawalla," Allah Ta'ala says, "Do you notice in amazement that person who had rejected and turned his face away," referring to Abu Jahl. And here another verse, we learn it and remind ourselves continuously, "Alam ya'lam bi anna Allah yara," does he not know that Allah watches everything, Allah Ta'ala sees everything. We learn this verse, teach it to our children, remind ourselves at all times, especially in those challenging moments of weakness of iman, tempted towards sin. Does that person not know that Allah is watching all that he does? Kalla, Allah Ta'ala says, never should he behave in this way. La illam yantah, if he does not desist and stop in this behavior, Allah Ta'ala says, lanasfa'an bin nasiyah, we will definitely seize him by the forelocks. We will have him seized by the forelocks. Now nasiyah refers to that part of the forehead, the top part of the forehead over which the hairline grows over. The hair that grows over onto the forehead is called nasiyah. So that is a very, very amazing miracle of the Qur'an Kareem. Allah Ta'ala says, referring to the forelocks of Abu Jahl, nasiyatin kadhibatin khati'ah, those forelocks that are blatantly liar and an open disobedient one to Allah Ta'ala, a wrongful one, a sinner. So Allah Ta'ala specifically refers to the forelocks amongst all parts of the body. Amazing miracle of the Qur'an Azim. Science later on finds out that where the forelocks are, the hair at the top of the forehead, it is the closest part to what is known as the frontal lobe of the brain. And that is known as, in simple terms, the control panel of our entire body. Emotions, cognitive behavior, sadness, happiness, decisions of choice, mannerisms, ways, sexual behavior are controlled by that part, the frontal lobe of the brain. And therefore we find on other instances when a person gets married, first night of marriage, one of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us to put the hand on the forelocks and read the dua of barakah, of blessings. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says about the horse, al khayl ma'qudun bi nawasihi al khayr ila yawm al qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala has put good in the horse's forelocks up to the day of Qiyamah. So amazing, that part. And therefore, when we go into sajda, that is the part of the body that goes into the ground, touches the ground, continuously linking that essential part in humility to Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala says, we will command the angels to grab those forelocks, the forelocks which are full of lies, similarly telling lies, telling the truth, cognitive behaviors are controlled by that part. Allah Ta'ala says, فَلْيَدْعُ نَادِيَهُ, that if he wants and he boasts and says that he has a huge social circle that will help him, in a short span he can gather a huge amount of people to harm Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah Ta'ala lays out the challenge that tell him that if he wants, he should go and call his social circle. Allah says, we in response, سَنَدْعُ الزَّبَانِيَة, we will also assemble a specific group to take them on, and they are Zabaniya. Zabaniya are those angels who are in charge of the fire of Jahannam, the guardian angels over the fire of Jahannam, who are extremely hard-hearted, severe in nature, and see how these angels will take care of his social circle. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that if he had taken on this challenge, and called his social circle, those angels would have destroyed every one of them piece by piece. Kalla, Allah Ta'ala says, never should he behave in this manner. And Allah Ta'ala says to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, never obey that person, Abu Jahl, who wants you not to perform salah, go on performing salah for Allah's pleasure, and continuously prostrate and make sajda to Allah Ta'ala, waqtarib, and use every opportunity to gain closeness to Allah Ta'ala. Sajda, a very, very special part of our salah. It is the part where a person is closest to Allah Ta'ala, more than any other position, is the closest a person ever comes to Allah Ta'ala is in sajda, and therefore we are encouraged. The closest a human being gets to Allah is in sajda, and du'as are most readily accepted. So in our sunnah, our nafal salahs, let us learn the Arabic du'as that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would read in sajda, or general Arabic du'as read by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, short du'as, Allahumma aghfirli, Allahumma arhamni, in our sajdas, in sunnah, and especially nafal, especially tahajjud time, lengthen our sajdas, beg Allah Ta'ala forgiveness, beg Allah Ta'ala for mercy, a time when we are desperately in need of Allah Ta'ala's mercy and rahmah. And how fortunate are we, Allah has given us this great honor of being the guests in the house of Allah Ta'ala. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that the person who goes to the house of Allah for performance of salah is the guest of Allah Ta'ala. And any person who has a guest, it is only right that you give honor to your guest. May Allah Ta'ala accept us, our feeble efforts, forgive us our shortcomings. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.